When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Criminality, the podcast where, Rebecca, we know that loving reality is not a crime. Rebecca, so good to see you. How are you?
You too. It's never a crime, but it's always, I don't know, fun, compelling, interesting to talk about, we hope.
I mean, yeah.
We've pretty much, like, put the whole premise on that, so.
We'd have to start from scratch, start all over, nix the entire idea. That took us long enough. Let's not do that.
Yeah, it turns out not fun to talk about.
No.
Not at all.
That would be terrible news to give me in this way, just, you know, as we're going into the episode, to be like, I actually hate this. I hate the whole thing.
Not going to happen. Sorry.
Oh, good. Well, Rebecca, not a whole lot to get into. We were just kind of talking off mic about Real Housewives of Dubai. Did you make it through the first episode? Have you watched the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. I've made it through all. I think there's three now, I want to say. But even the fact that I can't tell you that kind of tells you everything you need to know. I'm half watching. So I could not pick. I could not name the women in a lineup. It's a beautiful lineup of women, but I couldn't tell you all their names. I'm kind of waiting for it to start. It feels like they're all kind of projecting something and not just like being. But I'm like really trying to stay with it. And I will say, I have a weird thing about like foreign grocery stores. Like I love grocery stores in other countries. Right. And the last episode, she went into the grocery store in Dubai. And I was like edge of my seat. Which
now they've got you.
Now they've got me, which that's also maybe says something about how the show's going. But I love seeing just like how you do normal things like in other places. So.
You know, I'm going to give you that because whenever I, like, when you've sent me a picture of, like, Lover Boy in the grocery store, I'm, like, taking stock of everything going on because it looks so different. And I'm just like, where do they put their produce? Is there a bagger? How does this work? Yeah,
there is no bagger. I will tell you that straight out the gate. No.
None of them.
There's no room for a bagger. Like, the checkout person might help you if they're nice, have time, etc. But you bag your own for sure. And they might, and if they help you, it's like throwing it in and they don't do like, you know, a strategic heavy things on the bottom, bananas on top situation.
I just took a deep breath because that actually like upset me. But we have Aldi here and I don't know if you've heard of Aldi grocery stores.
Yeah, we have Aldi.
Okay, yeah. So you have the quarter and so you bag your own stuff to save money.
I've actually never been in one, but we have them.
Oh,
I don't know anything about the quarter.
Yeah, you have a quarter to use the shopping cart, and when you return it, you get your quarter back. So I literally have a keychain thing where I keep my Aldi quarter. Like it's a whole thing.
Okay.
You bring your own bags. Yeah.
Yeah. Bringing own bags. I'm on board with that. I do that.
Okay. You bring your own bags, but that's like the whole quarter thing. You and then like there's a, I don't know. It's a whole thing, and it's a lot of like switching a quarter off for a grocery cart in the parking lot. And
oh,
maybe
I can
like,
imagine.
Don't worry about the quarter.
Yeah, pay it forward.
So now, so now I have no quarters because I'm always like, no. You keep it. No big deal. Like doing my good deed for the day, and so now I've regretted that. I don't know how we got on this topic, but
is this about as riveting as the deli counter? aside,
every time I am in line at the deli, I'm like. Poor Rebecca has to stand over there, grab a number, fight to the front, and I'm just grabbing all the ham I can handle, and people are patting me on the back and handing me cheese. It's wonderful.
Well, now do you understand? Because I feel like we've talked also off mic about all my grocery deliveries. Like, I rarely step foot in a grocery store. If I do, it's for five things, and now you know why. There's no checkout person, right? Like, nobody has time for this, like, number business. Just freshdirect.com, not an ad. That's how I get by.
<Couldn't>
However, we are open.
Perfect. Well, Rebecca, before we get into, I don't know, Ladies Depends, whatever Lisa Rinna is hawking at this point. We'll get into this story. Does that work for you?
That's perfect. And I have a feeling there's a couple listeners who might be ready to.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, I'm trying to remember, what were my clues last time? It was marriage, money,
and Mike
Fleiss.
Fleiss.
I did say that he was the brother of Heidi Fleiss. I was wrong. He is the cousin. So sorry about that, but it's not going to matter where we're going. So, Rebecca, I have to ask you, where were you on February 15th, 2000?
Oh my gosh, I had a baby. I had a less than year old baby. So that's why I can't remember anything else in terms of like culturally what was happening. I don't know.
Okay, that's fair. But could you have been rushing out to your local CVS to buy all the discounted Valentine's Day candy?
Very likely.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe you were rummaging through your mom's Y2K cabinets to look for a snack. Both very much real stories for me. I know where I was, and it was likely at both of those places, my mom's Y2K stash, as well as my the CVS for discount candy. And that's for good reason, because I was gearing up to watch the TV event of the millennia. Who wants to marry a multimillionaire?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Yes, I know all about it. Don't think I was there for that premiere night.
Okay. You had somebody under one. I get it. Although nursing, you could have made it happen. You know, you had to. Yeah, I'm kind of ashamed of you at this point, to be totally honest. You could have done it, Rebecca.
I would do anything to know what trash I was watching that night in lieu of this, because I know it was something garbage, but I don't. Right? It wasn't this.
So you did not watch Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire?
No.
You've heard of it, but you've never watched it.
Correct.
Okay. So for starters, the producer of this show is a clue from last week. And if you thought his name, Mike Fleiss, was familiar, which you did, you said that you recognize his name, you're right. He is the creator of some of the biggest reality shows of all time, including The Will, High School Reunion, and The Bachelor.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was my lead up to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Wow.
Yeah. Big time guy. I'm trying to remember what there was a book about The Bachelor, and I'm not like super into the Bachelor world, but our friend Kim with People Are Wild suggested it to me, and I listened to the audiobook, and it was really great. But a lot about Mike Fleiss, a lot about the background of everything. The book is by Amy Kaufman. I know that because I follow her on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the story though. So Mike is a name in the reality world. But his first romance reality show came a few years before The Bachelor with Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire. So the idea for Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire came after this Fox executive, whose name was also Mike Darnell. Okay. He's at this wedding. And so he's saying, we're sitting here at Fox. We need our big show. At the same time, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which you discussed in an earlier episode, was everything, right? It eventually was like Millionaire Monday, Millionaire Tuesday, Regis Philbin on all freaking hours of the day, then Meredith Vieira for some reason. Yeah. So much going on. Yep. It's probably still on, right? I feel like there's probably new episodes.
I don't know if they're new or syndicated, but yes, people are still watching. I don't know if they're, yeah.
Maybe. Somebody is still watching.
For sure.
They're watching that or HGTV, you know, Flip or Flop. Those are the two.
Eternally.
That is hell.
Forever and ever on that.
Actual hell. So anyway, he's saying Fox needs a big show, and this is the big show on ABC. How do we top that? And so at this wedding, he's like, has this idea for a matrimonial contest, because his idea is, what do people want? And people want a good relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if those people stayed married, because I feel like
at that wedding,
having this idea born at this wedding is like so cursed.
Feels like bad juju. But let's assume they were, you know, it was unbeknownst to them. So they are untouched and they are.
Can you imagine finding out? I'd be like, well, we just have to end this now. This is nothing can come of this.
Yeah, it could. It could.
Mm-hmm. I'd send my child to live with the wolves. You're better off there. There's nothing good coming from this marriage. So anyway, back to Mike. He goes to Next Entertainment, who was run by Mike Fleiss. So that's where Mike Fleiss comes into play. And he comes on to produce this show. So the premise is simple. one millionaire vying for the hand of one woman in a Las Vegas hotel. And don't worry, the women could not see the millionaire at all, but he was able to see all 50 of them as they were paraded across the stage.
Of course. It's,
how of course. Gross. They don't, I'll get to it, but it is so disgusting that he just gets to sit literally like the Wizard of Oz sitting in the back and watching them each, like, stalker creepy. Ugh.
Yeah, like making a pageant about it. Also, it's the year 2000. Like, come on.
Yeah, we apparently had not learned anything yet. So anyway, if you're like, where on earth did they find 50 women willing to marry a stranger on national TV? I'll help you out there, Rebecca. These two Mikes recruited the maybe future wives and the millionaire on the internet through various Fox affiliates, internet dating sites. And so while the millionaire would get his bride ultimately, what do you think the contestants would get? Do you have any idea what kind of prizes could get you excited to go on a show where you marry someone that you don't know?
So were they not told he's a millionaire?
They were told he is a millionaire. So they, yeah, so there is that, but that's all they have to go on.
Okay, and only one of them is going to get that.
And like, is that a prize?
Well, right. I don't know. Was there a small cash stipend?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be really nice.
What did they get?
They would get a free vacation to Las Vegas.
Where it filmed?
Yeah, where it filmed. As well as prizes like a camera and an MFing Palm Pilot.
This is like Price is Right 2.0. Like, this is so dumb. It's like a furniture set. Like, it's like the early 2000s version of a living room set.
Like, when I saw Palm Pilot, I almost died.
Moment of silence for the Palm Pilot.
Oh my gosh. And the Palm Pilot has seen some things. Yeah. And so the winner of this entire thing, well, she's developed a ball, in the words of both Michael Scott and our friend Jody with Reality TV. She always says that, and I love it. So not only would the winner get a husband, she'd also get a ring and an Isuzu Trooper.
Made famous by an early Full House episode, but I'll save that story for another time. Never don't. Forget it.
No, I would love it if you have. What is the story?
Well, so Stephanie Tanner is afraid of like the werewolf or like someone on the loose. I don't remember. I want to say it was a werewolf. They'd seen a movie.
No, that makes sense.
And one of the, I don't know, Joey, Jesse,
dad, or uncles,
dad. Yeah, it was like, you know, there's nobody out there. Nobody's going to come. And she's like, okay, but if he were, would he be driving in a Isuzu? Like, I'll never forget that line because she was like looking out the window like Shory was there. And it was adorable. It was that when she was adorable. It was.
But I love that Isuzu paid for that. And they were like, we might not ever get anything off of this. And Rebecca, in the year 2022,
it all came back for Isuzu. Yeah, they're like, where's another creative product placement on television?
That's perfect. So not to worry, all these women did sign prenups prior to filming the show. Oh, and while they couldn't take their husband's new money, they would be able to keep the Palm Pilot. So no worries there.
Win. Yeah.
Thank goodness. No word if they got a charging pilot or a charging thing for it. They probably just got like used Palm Pilots.
They had to get a stylist on their own. That was not included.
Absolutely not. I would have mentioned if the stylist was included. So now onto the show itself. In the first portion of the show, the women introduced themselves in pageant style dresses and then stood on their spots on stage, waiting to hear if the millionaire would pick them to go on to the next round. And so, Rebecca, the millionaire is literally sitting off stage and we only see the back of his freaking head while he's watching these women on stage. I have a close up. I'll show you in a minute.
Ew.
It's perfect. And so he's not the only one watching him, though. According to Fox, 22 million people, including me, were watching the night of the show's debut. It was really everything Fox could have hoped for in terms of ratings. And shortly after it aired, after the numbers came in, Fox actually had plans to rebroadcast the show just 1 week later. So as the millionaire has met these women via this introduction on stage, he whittles the group down more with Well, why tell you when I can show you?
Yes, please, and thank you.
What he looks for in an ideal woman, he said that he needed someone who would be as comfortable on the beach as he is. So with that in mind, let's begin the beachwear competition.
So, Rebecca, a beachwear segment, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, and when you call it beachwear and not bikini competition, it's more classy. less degrading.
If this show is nothing, it's classy. And so it's really everything a little girl dreams of, right? For a man they don't know to judge them on what kind of wife they will be by how well their honkers look in a two-piece. So after the swimsuit competition of this pure show comes the interview portion. And the host, Jay Thomas, he asked the women very hard-hitting questions like, what's your favorite salad? And would you meet up with an ex-boyfriend and not tell your husband? From these questions, the millionaire was able to eliminate more women until they were down to just five.
Here's your question about ex-boyfriends. While visiting your hometown, you're invited by an ex-boyfriend to an innocent lunch. You're aware that this might make your husband jealous. What would you do? Would you go to lunch without telling your husband? This way you get to see an old friend and spare your husband's feelings. B, you tell your husband you'd like to go, but only if it's all right with him. C, you decline the invitation after all, you wouldn't want your husband having lunch with his ex-girlfriend. Or D, none of the above.
I would probably have to say answer B. I would check with my husband, see how he felt about that. If he still remained jealous, it would bother him. I wouldn't go. That's my husband, and we have a lot together. Answer.
Let's see what the multimillionaire's family and friends thought of that answer.
So, Rebecca, if you're like Melissa, what are those numbers up there? So up on the screen, after each woman would answer her questions, it would show family and friends' opinions, like Aunt Rhonda, 8 points, Mom, 7, Dad, 8, like judging every possible thing you are doing. It was interactive. That's... Y2K could not hold our computers down, Rebecca. Oh,
wow, unstoppable. That is high tech and mortifying.
I mean, truly, it is such an upsetting like premise, but it gets more upsetting the more like details are in there. And I will say, like, I've looked for this show for so long, and I showed you a website. I can't remember what it's called, but it's we'll have it in the show notes, where you can find these like old I think it's Lost Media or something, and I found this show. Like, you cannot find it anywhere, and I got to relive it, and it was,
I can't wait.
Much more horrifying than I remembered. But Rebecca, once you were down to these five women,
okay,
do you know what those five had to do?
Well, they have to vie and compete somehow. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to dream or guess what they would have to do to become the number one.
I know. Well, you know, it's actually not too bad. They had to pick a wedding dress. Could have been much worse. Bananas could have been involved. They were not. Okay. They had to pick a wedding dress. So they go off on stage, all five of them come out in wedding dresses that have been fitted for them. No, they haven't. They literally just pick them in the back, waiting for this millionaire to just marry them. These five lovely ladies, who until this point have never seen this man, never laid eyes on him, were in fact going to get married to him sight unseen.
Okay.
Well, not true. There is this like dark figure lurking in the green room, watching the women waiting for his prize, heavy air quotes. So, Rebecca, one last video for you.
Oh, good.
And I don't know what else.
Intimate question number two. Do you believe that having children is an essential ingredient to having a happy life?
Oh, my God. First, I thought it might be her bump it. But no, it is the dark figure.
Isn't that so creepy?
It's like
so
dark as you're passenger.
It is. It's full Dexter vibes in this entire thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's ominous. It's like for a primetime, like reality fun show, this is like quite dark.
It is so dark. Yeah, just to see him, I didn't even notice it at first. And then I was like, oh my gosh, he's just sitting, like his silhouette is above their head. Like, what are you going to answer?
So it's beyond creepy.
It absolutely is. Now, if you're thinking, doesn't this sound a little like Married at First Sight? Melissa, you're a hypocrite. What do you have against this show? Well, for starters, I'm Married at First Sight. The couples have never met, but matchmakers have sat with them for weeks, done some research on them and their goals, what they're looking for, and determined they would be a good match. Also that they would be good on TV. So it's, you know, they're still making a TV show. Now, does this always work? Absolutely not. Remember Brandon and Taylor?
Sure
that do. Was a mess from the get-go. But beyond the fact that these two people were married, the only thing we are going on this show is that the millionaire is a millionaire and the bride looks great in a tankini. Also, Married at First Sight picks people from the same geographic location. So this whole lifetime commitment, at least you know you live in the same city and you know you can see each other at dinner, right?
Right. Nobody's uprooting, like one person's not doing the major move.
Which I totally think is something The Bachelor and all those other shows are missing the mark on, because location is so important to, you know, somebody not wanting to move their whole lives for this new relationship.
It could be why Chris Sulz is still single.
Is that why? Is that why, Rebecca?
Oh, I don't know. Am I saying something about Iowa again? I think I did this last time. Oh, got no. In trouble.
Oh, I didn't. I forgot he was from Iowa. I just remembered the but other.
That was a challenge passenger. For the girls, like, you know, totally. Going to the farm. It could be anywhere. Or for some, it would be a super urban city.
Okay, Rebecca.
Like New York.
No one's
like
going to not live in New York City.
Equal opportunity.
Sure. So the goal is the two see each other. The millionaire gives his new bride a $35,000 3-carat diamond ring, thanks to Fox. They get married right then and there, go off on their honeymoon, and live together forever, right?
Oh.
Yeah. And Fox bet on this being a big deal, and it really was. So the millionaire and his bride get married in front of God, his family, and 22 million viewers. But what happens, Rebecca, when the millionaire may not actually be a millionaire and comes with a bit of a rap sheet?
Why am I not surprised?
Meet Rick Rockwell.
Oh my gosh.
Rick was, I got to do this. I got to change my screen, Rebecca. I've been gearing up for this one.
Oh my gosh.
This is his official headshot, Rebecca. Do you understand why they put him in a dark room now?
Yeah, I do. I feel like he's, like Charlie Sheen's stunt double on a budget. Like
that already did all the stunts?
Yeah, and will never be seen on camera. Like just, you know, his face. It's just like back of head.
We're going to do back of head shots for you now, buddy. So Rick Rockwell is this real estate developer and comic who at 43 years old, he was 43 years old at the time he was looking for love. If you'd humor me though, Rebecca, I'd love to read you a few things I found on his actor resume.
Please.
Okay. For theater, he had parts in Grease, A Christmas Carol, and Death of a Salesman.
Solid.
Sounds pretty. Yeah. All good shows. Mm-hmm. His TV credits include Star Search, where he made 6 appearances. Laugh-a-thon, that's laugh with 2 Fs, and you know exactly how I feel about that. Entertainment Tonight and, quote, all major national news programs.
What?
All? This was before he was on this show.
All of them?
All of them. Name one.
Wow.
He was on it. He also had live performances as a comic where he opened for Dionne Warwick, Ray Charles, and Whitney Houston.
That's
now
what? Actually impressive.
He wrote this resume.
Okay. So yeah.
I saw something that was like Jay Leno denies ever being, you know, having him open for him.
Perfect.
That was another one that was on there. Yeah. People were like,
this was back when it was a lot easier to get away with these like resume exaggerations / imaginations.
I actually kind of want to tweet at Dionne Warwick since she's on Twitter all the time and be like, what was it like when Rick Rockwell? Oh, I'm doing it. That's my goal this week.
I would put it out there. Put it on the vision
board. I'll use
our
Twitter for good. And lastly, he co-wrote and starred in 2 movies, The Killer Tomatoes Strike Back and Return of the Killer Tomatoes. Classics. And Rebecca, lucky for you, I found a clip of this very movie.
I'm so scared.
Gerardahue. Today, Gerardahue welcomes Captain Wilbur Finletter, tomatologist Kennedy Johnson, and famous vegetable, Fuzzy Tomato.
Hey, Rude, get a load of this.
Tomatoes. Love apples or hate mongers? Tell us, Captain Finletter, how do you feel about tomatoes now?
So as you can see, Rebecca, This man has range. Actually, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. The man is deranged. And while this is quite a lineup, believe it or not, starring in the dark version of the VeggieTales would not be the thing to make him a millionaire. So where does his money come from? Well, before I answer that, would you like to know a little bit about Mrs. Rockwell, a.k.a. Derva Conger?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, I'm having
deja
vu.
Is that a name you recognize?
Of course. Huh? I'm having deja vu. Has she come up on here before?
I've probably referred to Derva before, but only in a loving way because
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. No, I know about Derva.
Yeah. She has... You'll see. She's made some appearances.
Yeah.
So Derva was an emergency room nurse from California who came onto the show thinking this is just going to be a fun experience. she later said when she went on the show, she did it to get a vacation to Las Vegas. But she's in California. That doesn't seem like...
Right.
It seems
possible.
You can
just drive there, apparently. I did it. Yeah.
It seems like it's within your dreams. You could really do this.
Right. It's attainable without the hoops of a TV show.
This is an attainable goal. Exactly. So one of her friends was completely floored when she found out that she was going to be on this show because she said, quote, "She could have married anyone. I always pictured her with someone like JFK Jr."
Close second. Close second is our man here.
Do you think
here?
He could have been a JFK Jr.?
Stand-in?
Yeah. So Derva seemed natural on the show, I think about as natural as you could be on this show. She was the interview that I sent you about the military and stuff, the blonde bangs.
That's her.
So she revealed on the show that she had been in the Air Force, like I said, and she served in Korea. One thing not mentioned on the show is that she had previously been in beauty pageants. So the world on stage wasn't really necessarily new for her, which is probably why she did pretty well. But if you're wondering, how did Derva seal the deal and get Rick to commit to her and only her for the rest of their lives?
I am wondering.
Well, it was her closing statement, Rebecca. Mm. She took the mic, looked into the camera, and said to the dubious man in the next room, shadow figure, Slenderman, she said, quote, "If you feel that I am the perfect woman for you and you choose me to be your bride, I will be your friend, your lover, your partner throughout whatever life has to offer us. We'll have joy, maybe a few tears, but more ups than down." And here comes my favorite part. "And you will never be bored," end quote. I'm okay with being bored, Rebecca. I'm totally fine with it. I think you would agree. Would you like boring?
Give me boring, yes. Yeah, that's a warning. That's like that.
Exactly. So, but here's the real kicker. Not only was the show enraging all sides of the political aisle, but thanks to internet sleuths like The Smoking Gun, this millionaire who was now out to sea with his new bride on a Caribbean vacation may not actually be the stand-up guy he claimed to be. Also, oops, might not be a millionaire. Now, for Next Entertainment's part, that's who actually got the show to come together, they said, quote, "A good faith background check performed prior to the show by a reputable independent investigator did not reveal any information that Mr. Rockwell was anything other than a decent, successful man. Moreover, Next Entertainment specifically asked Mr. Rockwell on several occasions if there was anything in his past that might be embarrassing to him or the show. He assured us that there was not," end quote. Do you think maybe he had his fingers crossed?
I'm sure.
No take backs here, Rick. And so we're going to get into that past after a quick break to hear a word from this week's sponsors. Our show has been around for more than 3 years now, which is really something to celebrate. But when I think back over all of our episodes, one that really sticks in my mind, of course, is the one about the bling ring. There were literally teenagers breaking into the homes of celebrities and stealing thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of items. There is just something so scary about someone being in your home without your knowledge, even beyond just having your things taken. And that's why when it comes to home security, I only trust my home to SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe isn't just some old fly-by-night security system. It was actually named the best home security systems 2024 by the U.S. News & World Report. On top of that, Newsweek named it best customer service and home security, which is really huge because if my house or the people that are in it are in jeopardy, I want to know that I'm speaking with people who are there to help me. We've had Simply Safe in my house for several years now, and Rebecca got her system last year, and there's a lot of comfort in knowing that I have indoor and outdoor cameras all around the house. And if you aren't sure whether it's something you'd actually use, you should definitely give it a try. There are no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind. We want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/criminality. That's simplysafe.com/criminality. There's no safe like Simply Safe. So before the break, we mentioned Next Entertainment asking Rick if there was anything that could be found on his, you know, criminal record that would be embarrassing, or really anything that could be embarrassing to him. Rick says no, and he lied. What the smoking gun actually found out was pretty scary considering the nature of the records. The smoking gun was able to find a restraining order obtained against him by an ex-girlfriend, a model named Debbie Goyne, right? And it was granted to her for 6 months' time. So the restraining order was from 1991, which is 9 years before Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire. So I read through all of Debbie's notes in the order. She mentions him damaging her car, threatening to kill her, hitting her, and also said, quote, "It is my belief that his elevator doesn't go all the way up to the top floor," end quote. She also said, that's a good dig to add into your police report. She was like, going to add this on the margins.
And I hope someone reads it on a podcast someday.
Don't worry, Debbie. We got you. Mm-hmm. So she also said he was vindictive and she worried that he would actually try to disfigure her so she wouldn't be able to make money as a model anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, to Next Entertainment's credit, they did do a background check, but since Rick hadn't reoffended, it wasn't available to be seen on this soft background check they ran on him. So they basically said, if you don't get any more trouble, it's not going to come up. But this, if you're going on national TV, it might be a good time to, you know,
to do the hard one, do the next level check.
Yeah, yeah. Well, could we pay the premium fee to run this fee?
Like maybe do the one that goes all the way back in time to birth and includes everything.
Right.
Come on.
I know. I do think we see that now, right? In reality shows where you're like, how did they not find this? And it is kind of an imperfect system, I guess, that they're having to get better on. But
I mean, there's situations where there's like actively, you know, fraudulent things going on, and that could just boil over and come to the surface during the production, which nobody could control. But a criminal record is a criminal record. I mean,
right.
That's findable. Yeah.
I know. So another girlfriend's named Gina Ord, and she worked in real estate and said after she broke up with Rick, he would really harass her with emails. He would even sign his emails by the name Ira, which she said was referring to this infamous murderer named Ira Einhorn, who was accused of killing his girlfriend years before. So he would actually sign all of his emails to her, Ira. And she said, yeah, totally. And she said she actually recognized his voice whenever she heard him on Entertainment Tonight. And so she called him. So before the show, they had all these like teasers and it was the same like figure of the guy, the back of the head. She heard his voice on there, calls him. And he says, you know, if this doesn't work out, I'm just going to get it annulled. I still care for you. And then said, quote, "Don't think I haven't thought this through and about what this would do for my career," end quote.
Ew.
Rick is thirsty. This was before Instagram.
The desperation to be on TV at any cost. Ugh.
So gross.
Gross.
And so when he was asked why he didn't tell Next Entertainment about this restraining order, he said in a conversation with our boy, Josh Mankiewicz, on Dateline, he didn't bother to tell producers because he thought there was a 7-year statute of limitations on this.
I knew it.
Right?
Yeah.
So he added, quote, "Don't screw up on a slow news days," end quote. Agree, but also violence against women isn't okay every single day.
On any day of the week or hour of the day. Oh, this guy. Mm-hmm. About to flip a desk, Melissa.
No, don't do that. You just got that desk.
It's true.
So when Josh asked him if he did, in fact, threaten his ex-girlfriend, he said, quote, "Have you ever gotten to the point where someone's pushed your buttons and you say, I'll kill you? That's what it was," end quote. No,
relatable.
I haven't.
Yeah, relatable content, Rick. Come on.
Yeah. And while he did not kill her, thank goodness, he did let the air out of her tires because he's a bitter Betty.
Yeah.
But remember that whole millionaire thing, Rebecca?
Like, yeah.
The whole thing the show's based off of? Well, that's also being questioned. While Fox came out to say that Rick did have $750,000 in liquid assets and a net worth of $2 million, which is how we got a multi-millionaire.
Yeah, all two of the title. The millions.
So people did find his modest 1,200 square foot home in Encinitas, California, and they called BS on him being a millionaire. So in his interview with Josh Mankiewicz, he's like, why would I have a flashy house? He's like, I'm just a normal guy who went on TV. I even changed my old toilet out a week before he went on the show, which would explain when the internet found photos of toilets, too, in his yard when pictures of his home came out. There were two toilets
in
his yard.
So do you think he was, like, retroactively inserting that comment because he knew people were going to see the pictures of it? Like, it's a weird fact to include in, like, a tidbit about your home.
But, like, also, I don't even know if the house had two toilets. It might not have. He might have not been that good at fixing them and had to fix two. So, but, yeah, when the pictures came out, it was toilets in the yard.
It's a more questions than answers kind of situation.
It is. Maybe, like, he was practicing his ominous sitting poses, like, on various toilets to see, like, height-wise.
Oh, right.
Figure looked the best. Sure. That makes sense, right?
Must be it.
Yeah. So within just a few weeks of the wedding, Darva has filed for an annulment. But the interest in the couple doesn't really end there. While the couple never spent a single night together on their honeymoon or after, thank goodness, the world was really fascinated by this decision to marry a stranger on national television. So both of them made the rounds on all the talk show circuits, and Rick went on to make a comedy tour for this called The Annulment Tour, which I give him credit. That is not the worst name for a comedy tour after you've had an annulment, right?
Agreed. I mean, yeah. Sure.
I will give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
Only
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
Only here.
The Annulment
End
Tour.
End of list.
Yeah.
And Darva eventually went on to pose for Playboy, which was very controversial at the time. So she later said on Larry King that she decided to pose for Playboy because she wasn't able to get any other work after Who Wants to Be a Multimillionaire. Because as you remember, this is the year 2000, and that's what would happen.
Sure.
Speaking of the Larry King episode, both she and Rick were on this episode, and it was jarring to watch. I could not find another clip of it. I saw like a couple seconds on the internet, but they like these two should have never even been in the same room together, let alone decided to marry one another. Wild.
So weird.
So they were pretty angry with each other, as I recall, with Rick basically saying, why on earth would you go on a show about marrying a millionaire if you didn't want to actually get married? And Darva said, I honestly thought that they already had someone chosen to marry him. So to me, it was like, no big deal because I'm not going to be chosen, which you can understand. I mean, yes and no. You can see that a little bit more like, okay, if that's in your head and you think the producers have picked somebody, you're getting a Palm Pilot. What do you care?
Right. And you're shooting in Las Vegas. It's not a vacation, but it's close. Closer to the place you want to have a vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. So as for where they are now, there's actually not a lot to find about Rick. He's kept a relatively low profile in the decades since the show premiered and was subsequently pulled from the internet. But I did read something on IMDb that he's now a flight trainer, which 2 months ago that could have helped me when my son was obsessed with the idea of me getting my pilot's license.
Oh my gosh, that's right. But yeah, see, she also was in the Air Force. I'm like, now maybe they have something in common. Just kidding. They should not reunite.
Can you imagine them going back to...
No. Do
I'd
not recommend.
The crap out of that show, Rebecca. I'm going to pitch it. So as for Darva, though, she comes back on TV every few years when there's a new worst reality shows of all time segment on a show like Entertainment Tonight or anything on the E! Network. She did box against Olympian Olga Korbut in an episode of Celebrity Boxing, which aired in May of 2002.
Wow.
That intense. Only had a couple episodes. Yeah, like Joey Buttafuoco was one of the wrestlers.
Yikes.
Danny from a Partridge Family. Yeah, dark, dark characters. Mm-hmm. Apparently, yeah, not Lorena Bobbitt, but her husband was supposed to be on that. John Wayne Bobbitt? I don't remember his name.
Not interesting.
Don't need to.
Yeah.
So outside of the ring, though, she went on to get married, have a child, and became a nurse anesthetist. She divorced a few years ago and moved to Northern California with her son. There was one quote from Darva right after her marriage to Rick that always stands out to me, and it's her saying, quote, "I'm just a girl who works in an emergency room who made a mistake."
Oh.
And honestly, change emergency room to anything, and we've all been there. Am I right, girls?
Yeah, we all have the opening of like a voiceover narration for a new like series, TV series.
New TikTok. I'm just a girl.
Right? It's like, I'm just a girl looking at a boy asking him to love me. Like, it's that.
Right. It's that. But she was working in an emergency room.
Working in an
who made a mistake.
Waiting for a trauma to come barreling through the next set of doors. Like, weird.
So weird.
Unexpected.
But yeah, that is the episode. That's all about Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire. If you want to see Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire, if you don't know where you were February 15th, 2000, we will have a link to it in our show notes. I don't know if it'll still be there, but I got to watch a good section of it. Somebody like had it on their VHS and uploaded it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Internet. I can't wait to go to that website and find this, and maybe they'll have I Married a Prince or whatever it's called with
They might.
Oxenberg, Catherine Oxenberg, because I couldn't find that show anywhere. Okay, some follow-ups. So sure. I totally know this story, but you were so clever in your clues with Mike Fleiss. Like, I didn't associate him as the producer. So I thought this was going to be, like, Heidi Fleiss related somehow with, like, her industry stuff. But no, it isn't. So I'd forgotten this guy's name, but I knew this story. So was this a one-and-done season? Where did ever?
Yeah,
this
one episode.
Right.
They didn't even re-air it, which they planned on. But once all the stuff came out on The Smoking Gun, they're like, let's
over.
Just
yeah.
Do this.
Wow. It's just amazing to me that, like, I mean, 2000, I can't believe was over 20 years ago, but 20 years ago is recent history, and that this was okay.
I know.
I know we still have our versions of this, like you mentioned, but this is particularly appalling, and at least there's like an attempt at making them less degrading now.
Yeah, it is. It's if you watch Bachelor in Paradise, I don't know how much of an attempt there is, but just the fact that it was like, Rick likes hanging out at the beach, so that means
we're
he needs a girl
need
in a bathing suit.
See you in a bathing suit. Yeah. And like just the fact that his presence is never there, but he's viewing is like the worst part, I think.
Right?
That is the element that just sets this apart into another category of like bizarre, truly bizarre.
Right. Yeah. But I wonder if they were like, he's so hot. If these women see him, they're just going to run at
he's
him.
Got
or if
looks
they were like,
and money.
And they were like, keep him in the swamp.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll come get him later. I'm not being ugly. He's a decent looking guy, whatever. It's just, it was such a creepy, just so much worse.
Yeah.
And like having him come out after that, it's like you think like Tom Cruise is going to come out and you see this guy and you're like,
oh,
what?
Yeah, I know. I know.
We should have gotten a little bit of a heads up on this, don't you think?
Yeah.
So weird.
It is so weird, but like, you know, just another con man.
Totally.
Doing his best to like grift his way to the top.
Or whatever. To his own Palm Pilot or a Zuzu Trooper.
The accessory mentions alone in this episode are just excellent.
Oh, I'm glad.
So good.
I didn't know
so
you knew
fun.
The story, so this works out. Good. I'm glad.
And not the details at all, but like definitely like that there was a guy who said he was a millionaire and he wasn't, but I didn't know what he said he was. I didn't know he was like a performer. That's so weird. I mean, it actually tracks, but like, I didn't know he was like, you know, an actor, as we say.
A very Tobias Fünke actor, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes. Wow, good
so
one.
Rebecca, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I have no idea what I'll do for my next one, but I'll get to what you're going to do. But first, Rebecca, have you been watching any shows since we last spoke? You told me you have a good one. I'm very excited.
Okay. I mean, I guess we're not burying the lead here, so I hope everyone agrees, and I hope you agree that it's good. But I felt like I really under-delivered last time. I was rewatching two shows that I had previously mentioned on the show. It was lame. So,
Before you say that, Hacks season 2, amazing. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I hadn't started watching it yet, and it was perfection the
delivered.
Whole way through.
Mm-hmm. Totally delivered.
Totally.
Such solid show.
Don't apologize.
So good. It, yeah, worth another mention. So for this show, I had not heard a darn thing about it. Now, you're always very in the, like, no for TV, so maybe you have. But here's your clues. Hulu, Home Shopping, Molly Shannon.
Okay, it's got, I've been wanting to watch it. I didn't know it was on Hulu, but it's actually on Showtime, I think. So
I know,
watch it on
my
there.
Friend just told me that. She was like,
Vanessa
oh,
Bayers,
yes.
Yeah, I just listened to Molly Shannon. I can't remember what it's called. It's a cutesy name.
Yes, it is a cutesy name.
I love that for you.
Oh my God, you were good, Melissa. Like, you didn't have that and you got it before I even got it.
Sorry.
No, I love watching that happen. It was like watching a genius at work.
No, when the genius is the Zach Galifianakis character and all the things are going by its head, that's the genius you mean.
It was a beautiful
it was a
thing
moment.
To witness. This show is delightful.
Yeah.
And dare I say it is like a workplace equivalent. Well, that was a workplace. I feel like this is our new Great News.
Really?
Yeah, it's very much like that's the vibe and that's the takeaway. Like, it's like a joyful experience to watch, mm-hmm. but there's heart and conflict and like well-developed characters, and it's funny, and it's a workplace show with just the zaniest stuff, but it's not like stupid. It's
right.
And it so it's Molly Shannon co-stars with Vanessa Bayers, and so they're incredible, like comedic duo. On Showtime's website. It's inspired by true events. This hilarious new comedy follows childhood leukemia survivor Joanna Gold, that's Vanessa Bayer, as she chases her lifelong dream of becoming a Home Shopping Channel host. Shedding her cancer girl label, she moves away from her parents, starts a budding romance for the first time in her adult life, and befriends her idol, Molly Shannon, the charismatic star of the network. But when the little white lie to her boss turns into a big snowy avalanche, Joanna finds that living the dream comes with a hefty price tag.
Ooh.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
Just kind of what I needed. I needed funny. Mm. I needed an escape. I needed heartfelt and sweet, but funny and not too like saccharine. It's great.
Yeah.
I think you're going to love it. And I think people will really like it.
Oh, good. My only hesitation was I didn't have Showtime. And like, that's another.
You can see it on Hulu.
To get.
Do you have Hulu?
Yeah, I do. But I think I have to have the Showtime add-on.
Oh, is that how that works?
I think you have the Showtime add-on. You bougie.
Well, girl, I'll give you my
login. That's all right. I'll just add it. I need to add it. I need to just do this for myself.
I do feel like it will pay off. Not only is there this show, but you'll find others, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I've wanted to watch that. And I, we're having a Molly Shannon, revival, and I love everything about it. She was just
me
on...
too. White Lotus.
Right. She was just on Fly on the Wall, the David Spade, Dana Carvey podcast that, you know, I love.
Yes.
And she's just so delightful. She was also they released the Norm Macdonald, like his last show. What did they call it? Nothing Special.
Oh.
And then she was part of the after show on that, talking about him. And she's just so sweet and so sincere. And it wasn't like a thing to get the most laughs. She was just talking from her heart, and it was just just melted me. And I've always loved her, but I like in the last couple of years just have a whole new appreciation for her.
Me
and she's
too.
On the other two. That
yes,
other show
she's
I
on the other
on
two. She was on White Lotus, and
yeah.
we also heard her. I don't know if you heard this episode yet, but the podcast that we are forever mentioning, Celebrity Memoir Book Club, did an
Hello,
episode
Molly.
On her. She came out with a book, Hello Molly, which sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And that episode really was confirming what I felt like I was getting towards, which is like a bigger, even bigger appreciation for who she is. Like, she's such a talent, so funny. But in all her interviews, she really does come across, like you're saying, just genuine and sincere. And she's also had quite the life. Her performance in this and admittedly, Vanessa Bayers, I don't know a lot about her work. I don't like I've seen her on SNL, but like she in this is so her character is so weird. It's like uncomfortable. Like she's unfiltered and awkward and says this weirdest stuff that it's like very uncomfortable, but it's great. Like she is so good. So the two of them together are a dream. So I hope you love
it. I cannot wait to start that. You had me at the new good, great news. Cause that was everything to
me. That's what it feels like.
Vanessa and Molly almost seem like they could be mother and daughter. Like there's something about them to me. Maybe it's their energy and like
yes.
their excitement and stuff. But oh, I love that pairing. Okay,
100%.
I'm starting that tonight.
Yay!
Luckily, my husband never checks anything, so I'll just add HBO, or I'm sorry, Showtime, and nobody will be the wiser.
Try for like month to month and not the all at once like I just did for AMC. It was like $85.
I'm so sorry. Like, how did you like that? Did you ever finish it? What was it called?
Yes. Himself. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're bringing it up. Melissa, slow burn is exactly right. You know, you did not like mislead. It took me a while because the sitcom part annoyed me so much. Right. And I know it was intentional, but like it just made me like hate it, but also made me tired. It was weird. Mm-hmm. I couldn't explain it.
You can only watch so much of those sections, I think.
Yes. And they obviously built it that way. But like, oh, man, once it gets going, it's really such a unique premise. And it's mm-hmm. so well done. The actors are great. I enjoy all those, her friend, Patty. I don't know who mm-hmm. that actress is. She's a weirdo. I love it.
Yeah.
I think I actually have half of the last episode left. I fell asleep.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's got a good ending, too.
I'm almost done. So is there going to be a season two? Do we know?
There is. There's only going to be a season two.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then it's done. Which I actually think is a good idea. Sometimes we've talked about limited series.
Yes.
Just end it.
Yeah, no, but this needs more for sure. Like, I would be disappointed if it didn't get picked up.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, great suggestion.
Yeah, it's totally different.
So do you have another for me? Because I liked that one, and I am done with I Love That For You, so I need something.
Okay, well, I want you to watch this. I don't know if I can get you on this, but I want you on this. Okay.
Okay.
Polygamy. Mm-hmm. Big Wife. Quantum Physics.
Wait, what was the second one?
Big Wife.
Okay. So it's not Sister Wife.
No, but it's in that family.
Yeah, yeah. Big Love.
No, I do love that show, though. This one is, okay, this, I'll just say it. It's Seeking Sister Wives.
Oh.
Seeking Sister Wives.
Okay.
So it's came out after Sister Wives. Wow, Melissa. The word was in the last title. And it follows different couples as they are seeking a sister wife. And some of them do it for like religious reasons. Some are like Mormon fundamentalist. And they are looking for an extra or a wife.
An extra.
And then some of them are like, my husband was cheating on me or he was like, I didn't want to sleep around. So she said I could get a wife. Yeah, Rebecca. There is one guy, and he, first of all, if you've never watched it, you can jump in this season. Some people are older, but it doesn't matter. Like, you can, this isn't quantum physics.
Quantum physics.
As this one guy says, this one guy, he has two wives. They're trying to bring in a third. They work. He stays home. They have like a teenage son. He just stays home so he can read.
Immediately
and learn. Things like quantum physics, which is a real thing he says. And he just, when they come home, as they're cooking, he's like telling them about quantum physics. Can you imagine coming home from a hard day at work and someone telling you about what they read? And they're just like, we just love that he's learning and telling us. I'm like, just read a book. If you read a book, you could get rid of him. Just throw him in the dumpster.
Oh, I can't think of a marital setup I'd enjoy less than like, coming home to that, honestly.
No, absolutely not.
Oh my gosh.
And so there's all different couplings in this. There is Big Wife is the Merrifields. It's Danielle Garrick is his name. And Roberta lives in another country, maybe. I don't remember. She lives in a another country. She's going to be coming here. But he refers to her as Little Wife and his other wife as Big Wife.
Nope.
Like Spanish and stuff. Yeah. It is.
Oh, mercy.
Big Wife. So help me God the day my husband called me that. That is just. No. I'm like so angry right now.
Yeah. It's like better that I. When I didn't know.
No,
that was
it
happening.
Is a hate watch. If you are just like. I want to watch the world burn. Just turn this on. It's so easy to watch. It's just nonsense. And it's a bunch of like, sometimes it's like 22-year-old girls who are like, I would like to join your family and live with you forever. I'm like, girl, run.
What went wrong? Yeah. If I were to try this, where might I find it?
It's on Discovery Plus. It's on TLC.
Okay.
Give it one episode. And if you don't get the charm charm of it. You never will.
Permission to move on.
If it's not your thing, you'll know right away.
Okay.
But this is kind of a havesy, and I have to say the other thing that kind of goes with this is on Netflix, Keep Sweet, the new documentary about Warren Jeffs.
Yes.
And that whole, it's fantastic.
A lot of people are talking about it.
Yeah, I watched that as well, so I thought I could sneak that one in there as a little polygamist through line. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, theme. I like a good theme watch. Good job. Those are great. Potentially, maybe. I don't know if I
maybe.
Can do it. But I'm
going to
try.
Thank you.
I need some real, like, fluff escapism tonight that's easy, so maybe.
Yeah. Well, if you just absolutely are like, I don't care what happens to these people and their lives are going to burn and not like in hell, but they're just like, I don't care what happens. These are good shows to watch.
That's the problem. It's very hard for me not to care. Sometimes I care too much.
Not these people. You will not feel a thing for them.
Okay. 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 You've proven yourself as trustworthy in this department, in many departments.
Trust me on this one.
Okay.
All right, Rebecca, do you have any clues for our next episode that you're leading in 2 weeks?
I do, and I've been sitting on this one. I like have known about it for like the last two stories I did, and I'm finally ready to like do it.
Bring it to the people.
I'm ready to bring it to the people. It's fun, I think. Okay, so I wanted to follow in your alliteration footsteps. So your clues are Bravo, brands, and booze.
Ooh.
A lot of possibilities.
It could, I was going to say it could be a ton of them. Oh, I'm excited because no matter which way this goes, it's going to be awesome.
I hope so. I'm having fun.
You're the number one girl in this group, Rebecca. I'm so excited.
Maybe. We'll see. This one could get us in trouble. /me. No, I'm just kidding. Don't you worry. Your little six brain, I just saw that go bing. You just like, whoa.
I won't be sleeping tonight.
No. Totally relax. It's going to be great. But that was really fun. Great story. And happy to be doing this with you once again. And look forward to doing it again in 2 weeks.
That sounds great. And you can listen to more of Rebecca on her other show, Dialogue, which comes out every Wednesday, new episodes on Wednesdays.
Yes. And yes. And Melissa, you also can hear Melissa on the off weeks and every week on Tuesdays with her other show, Moms and Murder. So please do that and follow us on Instagram and TikTok, where Melissa is just unstoppable.
If you were worried that I was a narcissist, this will push you over the edge. We don't understand how to make TikToks. The only ones I know how to do is pulling up sounds and putting my face in front of them. I don't want to be this way.
We got to do what works. We're just trying to keep things simple and efficient, and we're just trying to, like, do the things. So you're doing great. You're doing amazing. Leave a 5-star rating and review if you haven't already. If you have, thank you so much, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Criminality. If you're enjoying the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and give the show a rating and review. The reality is it would be a crime to keep your thoughts to yourself.
And come join the fun outside of the podcast and follow us on social media. We are at Criminality Show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Memes are welcome. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a new episode. Until then, you can catch my co-host Melissa on her weekly show, Moms and Murder.
And Rebecca Sebastian on her podcast, Dialogue, a true crime conversation. Don't forget, loving reality
isn't a crime.